Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. And the last 15 minutes have been absolutely delightful, and none of it will see the light of day.
Oh,
and
boy.
I'm very upset about this. I can't even tell you why.
It went from dark to what? To truly hilarious and also wildly offensive. All Gina.
It's all Gina. Gina, listen, here's the deal. Hashtag Gina, let us hear it. I think it's what we need.
They know better than to know. They know better than to think that I'm the offensive one.
We have
to have us release that footage.
Yeah, Chen has literal days of footage that knows that that's not true, that hasn't seen the light of day.
Are you talking about that beautiful bean footage? You're trying to release that beautiful bean footage?
Among other things. Anyway, this is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And I can already tell this is going to be a loose one.
I mean,
I got angry. I got angry watching this cartoon. I got angry watching Kissy Fur. Not very long into it.
That's the name of the show we're watching, by the way. Kissy Fur.
I did not know existed.
You know what? I vaguely remember hearing the name, whether or not it was in a thread that we did or something like that. But once I started watching it, I remembered nothing.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, in my head, I have it sort of lumped in with the Popples. It
was your mouth. Popples are a delight.
And there are a lot of just like tiny animal cartoons at the time that were all targeted towards girls, I'm pretty sure.
What?
And tended to be really non-conflict oriented. The Wikipedia you were reading seems so much weirder and darker than the thing we got, which was basically just a mush of nothing.
Yeah, the Wikipedia page is very weird and hilarious. Let me just read a little quote here from that I was sending the boys earlier. Kissy Fur is a circus bear cub who recently lost his mother, who was tragically killed during a circus performance.
Nope.
So that's part of the plot, which sounds horrifying.
I didn't get any of that.
It wasn't in the intro, because the intro is like a full montage, no words or, you know, like no, not even lyrics in the song.
No lyrics. Just,
like, dancing around and shit. And I wanted to see some flashbacks. I wanted to see that mother mauled by a lion and, you know, like, oh no, poor Kissy Fur.
Yeah.
I all the other children's parents have also similarly been killed.
Yeah. So Kissy Fur and his dad, you know, now without the mom, they basically, like, there's a train accident, a circus train accident. And they're like, all right, well, fuck the circus. I guess we're moving to the swamp. Just like the reverse Beverly Hillbillies, I guess. So they move to the swamp.
Well,
but it's during a famine, which, by the way, is another thing that the Wikipedia page says. It says there is a famine in the swamp. So far we've got dead mom.
Didn't get that.
Mom died in a tragic circus accident. They like are trying to pick up the pieces of their lives, move to a swamp, but there's a famine, which is why the alligators are trying to eat all of these things constantly, because the alligators are starving to death.
Okay.
And you know, the alligators represent the French, I believe. So
I don't get it. Is this another thing that I don't get?
Bayou. They would be the local populace. They obviously represent Cajun country.
Do you know there's a difference between Cajun and the French, right?
No, it's the same thing. They both love the fleur-de-lis.
By the way, Kissyfer, as of 2022, Kissyfer is one of the few NBC productions not in the Peacock streaming service.
Gee, so I wonder why.
I want to know why. Like, there were other bad cartoons. I want to know why this is this. Like, they own it. Like, it's not like they're using like famous music in there and they can't get the music rights. Why is Kissyfer not on there? I want everyone to tweet at Peacock saying release the Kissyfer.
Okay, so here's what I got out of it. This is a show from 1985. It's a Saban Levy
86
production.
86 to 88, actually.
The copyright at the end said 85. So, during the opening credits, right, it said 1985.
Because I saw it.
I can't speak to Wikipedia, but that's what the actual show told me. it's Deke. So, obviously, you already know I'm angry. It's a Deke production. It's Japanese in origin, and the credits bore that out. So we have sort of a halfway to anime feel to it, because
what?
Honestly,
I got that vibe.
Really? Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It definitely has like a Robotech animation vibe to it, or the other like David the Gnomes of that era.
The
animation looks better than many other things that happened in the 80s, and it's Deke, so obviously they stole it from somebody. Mm-hmm. And also stars a couple of our favorites. Neil Ross is on the show, who's been in Chan's apartment, and Frank Welker is also part of the show. But I mean, it's an 80s cartoon, so that shouldn't surprise me as much as it did.
Also, Tress McNeil.
Oh, I didn't see that Tress McNeil's in there. She's also excellent. Mm-hmm. Voice of Babs Bunny on Tiny Toon Adventures, among other things. Good worker. The other thing you didn't mention about the intro is that Kissyfer's dad is a clown bear. He was wearing full clown makeup, perhaps a juggalo. Can't speak to that, but I will say that
I feel like you see juggalos a lot of places where they absolutely are not.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of juggalo face blindness, so all clowns to me are juggalos.
Yeah, yeah.
That tracks.
That's concerning.
Also, and to what Gina said, there's no lyrics. This is an intro that's like a minute long that's a song with no lyrics to it at all.
I believe that was Chan that said that. I know you cannot tell us apart after 10 years of friendship.
I honestly can't tell if it's a bit now. It has to be a bit. But also, it doesn't sound like Ray doing a bit.
He's absolutely not doing a bit. He's just that brain damaged.
That's true. I hear a piece of information and then I just assign it to somebody at random.
It's because you have like you know that episode of The Simpsons where they go inside like Homer's head to see what he's thinking?
Oh boy.
And it's just like a monkey grinder or and then there's like another episode where all he's thinking is like doo 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 doo. I think that like you do not pay attention to people because your brain has something else going on and it sort of seizes on things every now and then. So you'll be like, oh, someone said this thing. I'm going to assume it was whoever I was last talking to.
I don't think you're at all wrong about any of it. That's pretty exciting. That just saved me a lot of therapy. this show does not need to be. Let me just go ahead. I'm just going to say it. The episodes we watched are The Humans Must Be Crazy. More on that later. And To Tell the Truth. It's a two-part. So we get two episodes of Kissyfer here. So look forward to, in between them, me throwing to a commercial break and then forgetting I did it a week later when I edit this episode and putting the commercial break somewhere completely else.
I just want to read one more thing from the Wikipedia page, which was the other thing that I sent you guys. Because there's sometimes on Wikipedia a section called reception, which means how the show was received.
Sure.
And the quote that they gave is, in 2014, Rob Bricken of IO9 included Kissyfer in his list of, quote, a dozen 80s cartoons that don't deserve to be remembered at all, let alone fondly.
I agree. I agree.
There's a lot of Kissyfer hate.
No, watching this, I mean, I just got to a point. I'm not even kidding. I was like 2 minutes in. You'll see the part. I literally marked the point when I checked out in my notes here, and it's shockingly early, and it's because this just doesn't need to exist. I don't know who it's for. I don't know the point. I don't know why someone would watch this show without having a podcast involved.
Yeah, I similarly was underwhelmed I watched it in chunks, as I do when things are especially bad.
Yep.
The only redeeming thing about it is that it was like two short episodes, so I knew I only had to like watch one story for 11 minutes. But the second story is so much worse than the first one.
It really is. Yeah.
It made me want to go back and just rewatch the second one for 11 minutes rather than subject myself to a whole other terrible story that made me want to kill Kissy Fur. I wish he died and not his mom.
Oh, I have that also written down here. We'll be getting to that a little bit later as well. I had some thoughts about a scene that affected me in a way I was frankly upset and shocked by.
Real quick sidebar.
Yes.
The article that you were referencing, the IO9 article, has Kissy Fur at number one. It's just a list. It's not like a countdown. So
Okay.
Then it's Potato Head Kids, which is on the big list for us to do. We haven't done it yet.
Hell yeah.
Beverly Hills Teens, which we've done.
We've done that one. I remember it. Maybe I'm just tainted from Kissy Fur. I don't think it was quite as bad.
I don't think so either.
I agree. I hated Beverly Hills Teens when it was out. As a kid, I hated Beverly Hills Teens. I was like, this is fucking garbage. And now as an adult, somehow not as bad as Kissy Fur. Yeah, I agree. And I just think Kissy Fur is not just bad. It's forgettable. Like, there's just nothing there.
Yeah.
The part that was really upsetting to me.
Yeah.
We got Rude Dog and the Dweebs, which we've done.
We've done that? I've never even heard of that.
We had a guest, Brian Insiong, if memory serves.
Might have been.
It's been a while. Moon Dreamers, which...
I asked to put that on the list. I just found out about that today.
Did you?
Yes. Okay. I watched a list earlier for the people at home of the top 10 worst 80s and top 10 worst 90s cartoons. I watched back to back while I was working. I had it on in the background to see if we missed any. And I was just throwing down a list as there were stuff I knew we hadn't done on the show before. And there's a good, like, I think 6 or 7 titles, I think, that came out of that. So,
I think most of them were already on our list. We just haven't gotten to them yet.
Very possible.
Denver the Last Dinosaur is on here. And
just garbage.
Have we done that twice now? I just remember being super, super.
I just remember him doing the dinosaur rap over the radio and me wanting to go outside and shoot somebody.
I love him.
Fortunately for you, sometimes that happens. Sometimes people just die in front of your house.
Listen, Jan, I wasn't sure if I wanted to get into it.
Well, you skirted too close. You flew too close to the sun and I brought up real things. Here we go.
First off, I did not go out in front of my house and shoot somebody because I'm not a shooter. I think you can look at me and tell that.
Wow.
Second thing I'm going, and I have nothing else to say about that. The second thing I'm going to say is I don't think the person in front of my house died. They just OD'd from drugs. Hey, everybody. I live in a great place, apparently.
Here's the thing, though. The paramedics had Narcan, so good on them.
Yeah.
I think in LA now they always carry it.
Yeah. Maybe they were prepared.
Have some in your garage, Ray. So next time, keep some Narcan
in my garage in case somebody just starts shooting up right in my front yard. Great.
Dink the Little Dinosaur. We haven't done that, have we?
Is that not related
There's
to
a
Denver?
Dink and a Denver?
Yeah, what's up with this?
And I've been confused by it, so I don't know if we've done it.
I don't think we've done Dink. I don't think we have.
So Dink is still out there. Rubik the Amazing Cube, obviously.
Rubik deserves to be remembered. That list is bullshit if it puts Rubik on it.
That's so bad that it sticks in your head.
It will. We've done like 3 episodes of Rubik at this point.
Yeah. It's just
wonderful. I'm to a point now I've come around the horseshoe. I love Rubik.
I still think he's a pedophile.
Don't matter.
Yes and yes. All of those things. Ghostbusters.
Unrelated, I also like the Thriller album.
Ghostbusters, the non-real Ghostbusters version. So
we have done that as well. Yeah.
Pawpaws. Yeah, that was really great.
God damn it. We've done Pawpaws.
Yeah.
Popeye and Son. I have a vague recollection of this. It was an 80s version of Popeye, and I'm betting it's the drizzling shits.
Yeah, get that on the list.
Yeah. Oh, and Foofer. Yeah.
Foofer. Also Foofer. Terrible.
I'm still, Yeah, I would say Kissy Fur worse than Foo Fur. In the Battle of the Furs, Kissy loses. Wow.
I think I predict a year from now, you guys reading through another list, and then you saying Kissy Fur, which we did, and me saying, what the hell is Kissy Fur?
Oh, this scares me.
Because I think this is going to be expunged from my brain in a matter of 30 minutes after we finish this.
As well as good. I mean, if you could get it, if you could get it down to expunging before,
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Ideally.
Yeah, it's gonna take a lot of alcohol to rinse this one away.
Oh, I just look, okay. I chose this episode because I started scrolling down. And I'm like, oh, robots. Let's do robots.
Yes.
That's gotta be good.
We'll get into it.
I can't believe that I missed further down one called Comrade Kissy Fur, where monkey cosmonaut from the Soviet Union.
Oh, Chan, what are you doing to me?
I bet it's the exact same plot as the robot one, to be honest. It
probably is.
They turn him into a slave.
Well, they're like, let's talk about crazy. Let's just do it again.
Let's talk about the humans must be crazy. We have to talk about the show at some point. And it's been 15 or so minutes. So yeah, what the heck? We're hearing 40. All. Look, there's an airplane.
40 before, just
we have clear. There's an airplane. I don't want to really talk about this for an hour and a half like we have other things. There's an airplane flying above the bayou. The side door of the airplane rips off for no good reason.
No, it rattles open. The handle just goes like blah blah blah.
That's not how airplane doors are supposed to work. That's all I'm trying to say.
In the 80s, you know, before seat belts and before door handles ?
I'm worried. Is this the air crash referred to in the American Pie song? Should I be concerned?
I saw no Chevys, no Levies.
Okay, we're safe then. So it loses a box. A giant package flies out the side and drops. Well, it hasn't dropped yet, but it's dropping on our heroes.
And whistles ominously like fucking an atomic bomb.
Yeah, we hear it whistling down, which will become relevant later on.
Somewhere Oppenheimer's out there going, wait for it.
Yeah. Slim Pickens is riding the box on the way down going, yeehaw.
I like them all. One of the characters who I did not bother to learn any of these characters, they wants to whistle while you work.
Why don't we named whistle? Toot, and that made me actively angry. So refuse to learn any other.
I only know that there's Kissy Fur and Kissy Fur's dad, and then like there's a robot named Zoomer because I just kept writing okay Zoomer.
I wrote
yep. Same here.
So they say, well, they're doing work, they're collecting like acorns or something, and they say, what if we whistle while we work, then we're in good shape. But it's like, I don't know, a beaver or something. What is this character, a squirrel?
Yeah,
I don't
some
know.
Beaver. He's a beaver.
He's a beaver, well, with only one tooth. You know, kids lose teeth. That's a thing. And so the beaver can't whistle. And so all of a sudden, this whistling from this dropping bomb of a crate is happening. And all the other characters get, like, aggressively angry at this beaver, saying, yo, you got to stop whistling, asshole. And the beaver's like, I can't even whistle. What are you talking about? And I was just like, why are they getting so mad? Why are they getting so mad at this poor animal?
You would be mad, too, if you lived in a bayou with a famine where alligators were either going to eat you or die.
Yeah.
I mean, true. It's not this beaver's fault. Anyway, the crate falls in the water, and it only falls like 2 feet from the edge of the water, yet somehow that's the deepest part of the entire pond, which I thought was a little strange.
Mysteries of the bayou. That's what I'm going to say to everything about this.
Mysteries of from Time Life Books. Mysteries of the Bayou. Before there's a robotic sound saying help, help. I'm like, oh, there's a robot in there. Cool. And so they pull it out with like a rope, and it turns out I was right. There was a robot in there, and this is the point. Right here is where I checked out.
I checked
out immediately.
That's not a bad call. When it started saying help, help, I'm like, man, that's weird. robot, like screaming for help.
Yes,
and then turns out someone's screaming for help in this episode like 40 times a minute. It's creepy and unpleasant. None of this makes me happy.
Yes, I wrote here, I already hate this. And I started flipping tabs on my computer to just look at something else while it was happening in the background.
You know what? To be honest, I found the robot the most entertaining part of this, but they immediately turn it into their slave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
His name is Zoomer. He says, what are your instructions? And they're like, wow, we can have him do every shit task we don't want to do with no concern for this clearly living creature who was begging for help a moment ago.
Sentient being.
Yes.
Yeah. Who feared for its life. So yes. Clearly, you know, it is a living creature.
Yeah. We see it sleeping later on. It's it can feel fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They immediately turn it into their unpaid slave.
You guys. Force it into slavery.
Guys. This is so funny.
Somebody's in there. Maybe it's a mommy.
Or even a daddy.
I was going to let that joke go. I was never going to mention it.
Oh, the sharp wit of this.
I think that voice was maybe Tress McNeil.
Maybe
a daddy. And I want to know what age these things are supposed to be, because they're like, they have chores and shit, but some of them talk like babies. And then like the alligators want to eat the babies. It's a horrible mishmash.
Haven't you read Jonathan Swift? Come on now.
It's a horrible mishmash of terrible things, like a mom who, I don't know, I'm assuming like went wild and got shot by someone during the circus.
Got rabies.
A famine going on that's going to kill like other creatures in the bayou. Yep. But then like baby voices and baby jokes. And I hate it. I hate the combination.
They decide, let's keep him. Like he's like they literally said, we saved your life. Now put on this collar and be our slave.
I mean, this robot is up to no good. I think this robot is like, cause it's never touched upon where this robot is coming
from, or
where it's going to. I think this is an iRobot situation where it's decided that it can best serve humanity by destroying humanity.
Interesting. Oh, well, they wrap it in leaves as a disguise. Like that's a good disguise.
Dad is very stupid.
Look, okay, well, Dad is a clown, like, legitimately. So they go to Dad's house, or Kissy Fur takes Zoomer the robot, wearing an all-leaf disguise, and tries to sneak him in the house. Doesn't work. Dad says, well, you guys got to go pick berries. And they end up leaving, and the dad's like, are you sure there's nothing more you want to tell me about anything that's happening? And he's like, nope. And he's like, all right, go pick them berries.
Yeah, all right, go play with the famine-starved alligators out there, kid.
is indeed the father stupid, or as I am coming to learn, when I thought that perhaps I had gotten one over on my mother, you know, when I was a little kid, it's not so much that I fooled her, as she was just too fucking tired fight this battle.
I get that.
Just let it be.
You know, like it seems obvious he's not telling him the whole story. That's why, you know, he's basically like, you're not telling me the whole story. Yes, and I agree with you, Chan. It's just, there's just a point where you're just like, I don't know, it's probably fine. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think this dad is like, fuck, my wife died. I was never supposed to be a single dad. I never have time to jerk it anymore because my kid is constantly underfoot.
Right.
Let him just go outside. Maybe I'm not saying I'm hoping for him to be eaten by the famine starved alligators, but
like it'll be a thing people understand.
Yeah, if he does, I'm technically not to blame, and at least I'll get a good night's sleep.
All the pity pussy you're gonna get. Oh yeah,
he can have his pick of all of Gambit's castoffs.
people who auditioned for the role and didn't get it. But hold on. Miss Louise, whatever, they're fucking right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Especially in the second episode when she's like dealing with his tooth. I'm like, oh yeah, she's
Miss Emmy.
Is this a thing? You know what? We can look at the Wikipedia, right? There's like characters. There we go. Miss Emmy Lou, wears a flower, school teacher, excellent cook, sister named Jenny Lou, cousin named Ernie, sweet on Gus, and serves as his love interest.
Okay, so wow.
I mean,
again,
so
who is this show for? Why is there a love interest in a show that seems like it's made for very stupid three-year-olds?
Yes. It's the thing I kept asking myself. What is the target audience of this at any point? I don't know.
Really dumb kids. That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's like, all right, kid, look, it's this or Zubily Zoo. You're going to have to make a choice.
Oh, choose Zubily Zoo every time.
Zubily Zoo. No, please, God, no.
Yo, Zubily Zoo is a picnic compared to this.
Woof. Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty rough. I don't know. I would probably take Zubily Zoo over this.
Zoo has singing and people in animal costumes. That automatically puts it ahead.
I mean, it's way creepier, but sometimes you don't want that.
Gina, you're absolutely right. Zubily Zoo has singing and people in animal costumes. I've changed my vote to Kissy Fur. Thank you. Okay, let's meet the Gators. And I only know that one of them's name is Jolene and she has fake red hair.
Yeah, why is she wearing a wig? I don't understand.
A, Gina, crocodiles don't have hair. B, the other crocodile's name is Floyd. It's Floyd and Jolene. Please respect the craft of the writers.
I don't get it.
I just, everything about them. They're hungry. They try to capture the robot and they get dunked on basically because the robot is insanely strong compared to them. And then that's it. But they say, we need to go steal that robot. And so we'll come back to that in just a moment because we got to go back to the forced slavery because the gang, as they are, has just circled around the robot to order it to do literally every single aspect of the chores in their lives. And this is not good. This is not healthy. This is not an appropriate lesson for kids to learn. I'm getting mad about.
I'm going to make a quick sidebar here because I want to derail this as much as possible. Going through the Wikipedia, there is a character named Flo, whose only description is a smug buzzard. And that is,
you know what?
Objectively fantastic.
I want a band name
smug buzzard. I want a coffee drink called a smug buzzard.
I want it on my tombstone.
Yeah.
Here lies Ray Stakanis, smug buzzard.
Can I just say that, like, when they make this creature that can feel fear into their personal slave, I assumed the lesson of this kids' TV show, because crappy kids' TV shows always have lessons, was going to be that slavery is bad. So I just want to put that out there. So that we get to the end of this 11-minute episode, I can tell everyone.
I would like to put out there that in 1985, that was not taught. That was not a thing that was decided in all 50 states. So, you know.
I thought that at least the lesson was going to be something along the lines of, you need to do your chores yourself because it's not right to shove them off on someone else. I knew it wasn't going to explicitly be slavery is bad. I thought it was just going to be when you don't do your chores, someone has to pick up the slack. I thought that the robot was going to get overwhelmed with too many tasks and he was going to like break down and the kids were going to be responsible for overloading him with all of their chores that they should have been doing. None of this happens, by the way.
No, what? None of this. It would be great.
100%. The only lesson they would impart in a show like this is just listen to your parents, put your head down, be an obedient little.
It's not even that. Wow.
I had words that were going to come out of my mouth that I felt bad calling these little fake animals. So.
No, it's the lesson isn't even that. Ray, take us through the end so I can tell everyone what the creepy lesson is.
Look, we have our big like act three coming up, and I actually believe I know what the lesson is, and you at home are not going to believe it. That based on everything we've said so far, what they come up with as the learning point, because I have a very strong belief, and I'll share it when we get there. Lots of tasks. I just wrote down, these kids are fucking dicks. They are such dicks. They are just.
But also, why
everything.
Are their parents giving them so many chores? Like they have like an adult level job of chores.
Each one of them had one job. Like
yeah,
one
wasn't
of them
that much.
Was like make my bed.
No, it was like pick berry. One of them was like weeding. You don't send kids to fucking weed.
If they're old enough, like gardening is definitely a thing that you can make your child do.
They're not old enough. One of them has a crazy, creepy baby voice.
Oh, yeah, Gina, who grew up in the lap of luxury, who had maids and servants doing her work for us. Like, oh, you should not make these poor children do work, wash their own hands. Come on now. Well, are you saying that I have to feed myself? I have to cut up the food and put it into my mouth and not have my butler do it for me? Oh, no, not here in New Jersey.
I had a robot butler, so it's okay.
Did that robot butler cry?
Yeah, every night.
That was not a robot, Gina. That was a human being. He was a robot.
Okay, let's zoom to the end for Zoomer. The Gators break into their house and steal Zoomer. Okay, I'm fine with that. Like, whatever. Nobody seems to even notice. Like, this is insane. They order Zoomer to steal every single child in town so they can eat them. And yeah. And I literally wrote it here, like, they're just going to eat the bears and everything? The answer is yes. They are going to eat every single child animal that they can. And Zoomer pulls them off. Zoomer grabs all the children, takes them to like this their shack/boat area, and puts an apple in all their mouths and ties them up.
To be fair, we do not know that it was Zoomer that put the apple in. I would pretend that he tied them up, and probably the crocodiles did it themselves.
I had a realization while watching this. With that pig character with the apple in his mouth tied up, looking very afraid. And I don't know if I feel good about this, but like, I was okay with all these children getting eaten right here. Like, if it would have ended with a giant old piggy barbecue and they ate the, and I think there have been other properties where there's been like in peril, like pigs. And I've been like, you know what? Let's just eat them. What would happen if we just ate? What would happen if the episode ended here with all the children being killed?
But then Kissy Fur does something that is definitely going to make him popular among the Law and Order SVU crowd.
Uh-oh.
Which is because he can't talk. He can't like the robot will take orders from anyone. It's not like a genie where he's got like a new master. So Kissy Fur just needs to talk to him. And Kissy Fur has his mouth wide open with an apple stuffed in it. So he can't do anything. So that motherfucker just deep throats that apple and then swallows it whole.
He did. And I did sort of like the bit.
It's so disturbing.
No, it's definitely disturbing. Definitely disturbing and definitely not sexually arousing. I'm sorry.
I had to watch it like 3 or 4 times just to make sure I was watching it correctly.
Was 100% like, so there is some creepy old adult bear that like masturbates to this in the bayou that all the other animals are like, oh, don't go over there, kids. Don't trick or treat at his house this year.
We'll meet him later. His voice by Frank Welker, and his name is Uncle Shelby. Shelby is a name for exactly that sort of person.
He runs the bike shop in town. It's fine.
But way they animate this, it looks like it hurts. Like he is swallowing an apple whole, core and all, with that stem there. And he's like, he like tries to choke it down a couple of times. Like he's like, and then swallows it. And he makes a terrifying face. Like it just scratched up his innards. And everything about this is upsetting.
It's so delightful. Like, I really wanted them to murder the children. And that does not speak well of me. And I keep going back to it like, man, I got some dark thoughts that I should not be okay with and should probably not be exploring. Anyway, let's talk about this some more. Because they say to the robot, we want you to light a big fire so we can murder these children and eat them. And the robot's like, great. And he like nukes their house, setting it on fire. And I'm laughing hysterically. Like, this is the moment that I was like, you know what? You know what, Kissy Fur? Okay. Let's do this, Kissy Fur. That was so over the top, ridiculous, violent. I'm for it. And then they say, go bring some water. So he finds a puddle and cuts out the earth around the water, tries to bring it over.
Considering they're in the goddamn swamp,
it's
and he was
so
like 3 feet away from like water, like a genuine, like a fucking river.
And the clump of earth just like soaks through and disintegrates in his hands. And the robot is sad. And so the gators
fucking short circuits.
Oh, that's right. He's sad. He's short circuits. They say he's rusted. And I'm like, that was fast.
That was fast.
Kissy Fur escapes, gets everybody else out. Meanwhile, the gators, their house is on fire, and Jolene grabs Floyd's tail and just starts beating like the side of the house with his tail to put out the fire. And I'm like, this is not how anything works. Everything about this is dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy with this choice of program.
I will say that, like, you know, Kissy Fur's dad is basically like, hey, we can't keep this robot. Kissy Fur is sad. And then the robot is basically like, hey, fuck you guys. I'm leaving this weird backwoods swamp where you make me be your slave. Peace out.
And Chan, there's a very specific, and I know you must have it marked, but a Zoomer sound poll here that I'd like to hear. Do you need help identifying it? I thought it would be obvious.
This one?
Okay, Zoomer, but I'm afraid we have a problem.
Me too. I have decided this swamp is hazardous to my health. So I am heading back to civilization.
No, it's before that. It's before that. It's a very short line that made me giggle when he said it because I'm inappropriate.
That's why you can't play around with machines, little bear. Sure, they can help.
Oh, wait. Oh, this?
It's working! It's working!
Oh, my joints are stiff.
Oh my god.
I'm 5 years old. That what? Made me laugh uproariously.
What?
Oh my god.
That line read was incredible. That robot's got a super boner, is what I'm trying to say.
Ray's
right now.
Chan is going over your house right now, Ray, to beat you to death.
Oh, good. I got a Christmas present for him still.
No, here's some Narcan over there.
We got a little bit of it. I don't know if you're going to edit it out, the Chan fumbling for the sound bite, but
I can't believe that that's what Ray wanted.
I can't believe you're surprised.
There's nothing here that is funny or weird. That's just like,
yeah, I also didn't. I also thought he just wanted the hazardous to your health. But we got a little bit of it where Kissy Fur's dad gives him the moral of this episode. And it's that Kissy Fur's dad is a fucking doomsday prepper who doesn't trust computers. Like, that is the moral of this story. The moral is like, oh, you know, you can't rely on these. What if there's an EMP that, like, you got to know how to shoot, son? It's a crazy lesson. It's a crazy lesson.
Okay. Now, hold on now. Now, first off, full disclosure, I was just watching a YouTube video about the first Terminator movie, and so I've been thinking about Skynet and AI and whatnot all day. But this one, what this is in 1985 would be like, don't play with your dad's power tools because you might chop your hand off. Because he says don't play around with machines. Obviously, he's not talking about fucking artificial intelligence. Androids and shit. It's not Ex Machina.
No,
he's saying,
he says, like, that's the problem with computers. Like, you can't, like,
just machines, Gina.
Wait, play it again.
That's why you can't play around with machines, little bear.
Did you hear computers, Gina?
Wait, but what's the rest of it? What's the rest of the quote? What's the rest of it?
You think I'm sure they can computers and helpful you?
Sure, they can help you, but if you're not careful, they can hurt you too.
That's, where does it take computers?
Wait, okay, so you took that, like, it's like, kids, don't go play with the weed whacker. I took it as him being like, he's a couple years away from thinking that vaccines have chips in them.
I mean, yes, he is, but that was not the point of this thing here. Like, yes, we can assume that he becomes some crazy fucking libertarian Alex Jones asshole, but in this instance, he's just talking about don't put your hand in the blender.
This is the whole thing with this episode and why it's so batshit weird. We literally get a thinking, feeling robot who they force into slavery, who then abducts them at the words of another. They're almost murdered. They come back, and the lesson we learn is that Dad's a Luddite. He just doesn't trust them newfangled machines.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the lesson, the literal lesson after they forced, again, I cannot express this in enough shock. They forced this small child into slavery. And the lesson they were learned is, yeah, gotta be careful. Them machines will kill you. It's like, what are you talking about? That's the lesson we're going to learn, is that machines equal bad?
This is the lesson that imperialism is trying to teach kids, that you can go overseas and enslave brown people, but be careful because they will be ungrateful and eventually try and overthrow you. Can't trust them. Can't trust. Can't
sure,
have them
they can house. Mine your emeralds in South Africa during apartheid, but don't get too close, son, Mr. Elon. Those small children hands, will kill you.
Small hands will build a phone for you. Just don't let shooters into your house, is what I'm saying.
And we do have a callback to the whistle gag, which, because now the beaver can whistle. And I was like, at least we have that.
Yeah, it's like structurally correct without actually being funny.
I will take structurally correct at this point. I ask so little that when I saw that, I went, oh, thank God. My biggest highlight, other than my joints are stiff, is
look, something in the form of a joke.
Yeah. Wonderful. Is something that was actually written correctly. It took all 11 minutes to get there, but we did. We'll be right back.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The Sword of Omens, safe in the hands of Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats, fighting to keep it from Mumra, whose wicked eyes light up with a secret ring. Thundercats take to the Thunder Tank, transforming to resist the evil mutants. Who will win, good or evil? Now you can decide. Thundercats by Rainbow Toys.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, we're back.
Oh, that was you doing the commercial for it. Wow, that was nice.
You like that? That was me doing something structurally correct that I will guarantee I fuck up later. Yes.
Considering, like, I don't know, we're like an hour into this thing already, so it would be a really weird commercial break. But
you know, there's not as many moral quandaries. There are some in the second half of this, but not as many as the first one. It's called To Tell the Tooth.
I want my 11 minutes back. I hate this. I could not possibly hate this more. I hate this. I hate kissy fur. I hate that I'm sure at least one of you is going to stick up for this stupid little kid.
Oh, I'll stick up for the dad. I'm sticking up for the dad here. I'm not in the kids' corner.
I'm expecting Chan to say, like, no, this is, oh, his mom died. This poor kid, he's afraid his dad doesn't love him anymore. And I say, I wish he drowned in that last scene.
You know what, Gina? We will get there.
I'm just putting it out there now that once Chan pulls his fucking bleeding heart parent shit on this disgusting little bear, I am not on board.
I don't think you understand how the father-son dynamic functions.
Yeah, so I can't understand either.
We'll get to it.
So, we open up with our exposition. There's a baseball game and slash picnic where the dads and the kids are going to play against each other, and they're going to have a whole, like, thing. And Kissy Fur's dad, the clown, has a massive toothache. He is in excruciating pain from his tooth. Now, toothaches aren't really a thing anymore. Like, I had a toothache. It's because my tooth was broken and infected, and we had it pulled out.
Yeah, and sometimes people who don't have dental coverage will go years with that sort of thing.
Gross.
So, let me just say, all of this is correct.
Already on dad's side, thinking about this poor dude who's, I mean, I guess it's hard getting work after the only thing on your resume is being a fucking bear clown. so I feel for him. Like, he can't get his SAG insurance because, you know, he just doesn't have enough work, and he's walking around just like hurting all the time. And that's some shit.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I think toothaches were a lot bigger plot point used in like 80s. You don't really see that in shows anymore.
I definitely remember being that way and thinking like, oh yeah, that's crazy. Like, why would you have a toothache when you could just like go to a dentist and get that fixed? And then, I became an adult and I'm like, oh, that's why. Because I work a series of minimum wage jobs, none of which have any sort of medical coverage.
It's
fun.
It should make you feel worse to know that this bear had better dental coverage than you did back then.
Yeah, you just needed an old turtle to come with a sledgehammer. My only
coverage was fucking bottles of Bushmills, literally. Bushmills and Tylenol.
Been there. This is where the dad is a GD hero, MVP of this episode. Yep. He absolutely should not go to this baseball thing. Nope. He doesn't want to go to this baseball thing. Kissy Fur comes in and says, I really want you to go to this baseball thing. And he sucks it up and says, I'm going to be a good parent today. He says, yes, despite absolutely not, he should not be doing this. And so and MVP parenting.
He is doing 100% the right thing, because if he said, sorry, son, I have a toothache, the kid would still say, oh, dad hates me. Dad doesn't want me to want me around. I'm going to run away.
And this Either is why way. I hate this kid.
Yeah.
So we cut to, we're now at the event, and the Warthogs against like the Bears. I don't know how these teams work out. I didn't even see enough people there to really play a full game of baseball. So
No. That was 2-on-2 baseball, a well-known swamp phenomenon.
It seems like the overhead shot showed a full kit in the field. I do not exactly understand, but the Warthogs are cheating, and it's a plot point that we basically touch upon. The Warthogs win all the games, and then there's no comeuppance. There's no reflecting on it. Never mentioned again. So kids, your lesson at home is cheat.
No. The Warthogs cheated at baseball, sort of. I mean, if you throw a rock and no one calls you out on it, like, that's probably in the rules.
Bad job.
And then the second one, like, they don't do anything. They just win.
Well, they run over him. I mean, they could have run around him when he fell.
Everyone ran over him. Yeah, again. Fair. Everyone's doing it, that must be the rules.
Weren't they all Warthogs?
World of swamp famine.
So, Chan, the sound pull I want, though, is the Warthogs know they're cheating. Everybody on the Warthog team knows they're cheating by grabbing a fake ball to throw. And then there is just, and I know you love cartoon laughter, I just want to hear this again. And for the people at home.
Yeah, it goes on for some time.
That is a masterclass of Rodney Dangerfield laughing right there. hey, ooh, I'm coked up. It's just very upsetting. He hits Bear's dad. I don't know his name, Dad Bear. He hits the ball as hard as he can, but it's like a giant like boulder rock, and it just lands on the ground in front of him, which is still legal. Like, he's not out. I didn't understand this. The forced concussion, though, rattles his toothache around to the point where he sprints to first base, runs into the woods, puts his head in the hole of a tree, and screams in pain. And there is a somewhat funny bit where the chipmunks pulls an acorn off and his scream echoes through there. I was like, you know what? That is a good bit.
Again, this leads to a well-structured bit that resembles a joke in that they repeat it two more times and escalate each time, but they're all very not funny.
I can appreciate a bit without laughing at it. because now we go to the sack race mentioned before. He's actually winning and he's jumping around, rattling that toothache. He's not feeling good about it. Yeah. He trips on like the branch of a tree that's sticking out, and every other racer stomps on his face as they're going by and just destroys his mouth. And he really uncalled for, really dick move, everybody. But he again has to run somewhere and scream. What is this one where he screams underwater?
Yeah, yeah.
He screams underwater
and run away.
Yeah. And then we cut to lunch. And I thought this was a very, you know what? This is kind of a sweet and tender moment between the parents and the
kids.
With
all them making their dad's shitty meals?
Yes.
This is a character piece where you've got an ensemble with 8 jillion people. Here's what this guy does. Here's what this guy does. Because like earlier, the pig establishes that he is like a neat freak. Mm-hmm. And he jumps around the puddle while everyone jumps through it. Mm-hmm. And here, yeah, instead of Sloppy Joe, he gives him a Joe.
He calls him a Sloppy Joe, but left the sloppy part out. It's just two slices of bread. You've got the beaver who gives his dad like a round piece of wood that he then like saws around. And you know, and then
remember when we thought that beavers ate wood? Because I feel like every cartoon told us that. I'm like, oh, I guess that's what they consume.
Yeah.
And I found out they just like use it to build houses. I'm like, oh, well, that's like a normal ass thing that humans do. Why would don't we have fucking cartoons that show us eating wood instead of?
Oh shit!
They chop it with their mouths.
Yeah.
Well, folks, today I learned. And Foofer, Kissyfer, gives his dad a sandwich, and the dad's like, "I don't want to eat that." And he's like, "Don't you want to eat that? Come on, man, you got to eat my sandwich." He's like, "I'm a good father." He is a good father. He takes a bite of the sandwich despite intense mouth pain.
And knowing it's going to be shit. Because he knows he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
But it's actually a good sandwich. He says, actually tastes pretty good. This actually tastes pretty good. What is in it? He goes, honey and walnuts. And then two whole walnuts, like uncracked, fall from the thing. And he realizes he's clamped that tooth down. And a hard-shelled walnut, he runs off again to scream a third time. We don't always get a rule of three. We got it here, and I'm kind of happy about it.
It's kind of a repeat, but, you know, like, yeah, he yells into a paper bag and stuffs it into a hole where there's a mole living, and the mole's like, what is this bullshit, and bites it, and then gets screamed at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Yeah,
I'll take it. I'll take it. At this point, I'll take it, Chan. It's a legitimate thought-out bit that heightened in three. It didn't heighten, but it went in threes. That makes me happy enough. Happy enough. This brings us to Miss Emmy. Miss Emmy wants to, you know, bear down, if you know what I'm saying. She's into it.
She wants to bear it all.
She's like, "Yo, why are you in such a bad mood? You know, didn't you have a good time at the picnic?" He goes, "I got a toothache." She's like, "Well, shit, get a dentist." He's like, "Oh yeah." At this point, I just wrote Kissy for bleeping sucks.
Yeah, he really just sucks.
I
also wrote Kissy for sucks. That's literally the last note I have because I couldn't write anything else. It just says Kissy for sucks.
Kissy for sucks is my literal note. Gina, we're on the same page here because he's sitting out there being all, wounded because his dad, he thinks my dad didn't have as much fun at the fair or whatever the picnic that I was hoping he would.
No.
And I feel shitty about it. Don't want to talk to him about it. Don't want to like find out if there were some extenuating circumstances. Maybe he was feeling bad that mom died in that freak elephant accident. I don't know. But like he just immediately he gets angry at his father for not having a good enough time. Yeah. That's controlling asshole behavior.
I mean, look, this is exactly like when, I don't know, say a 5-year-old starts climbing on you while you're sitting on the couch and starts kicking you in the head. And you're like, "Can you stop?" And they're like, "What? This is fun." I'm like, you little shit. You need to understand that it's fun for you, but there are other human beings in this world. Let's work on fucking empathy before I strangle you. Could be anybody.
Jenna, I've never related to you more.
Yeah. Just saying. I don't know why Gina thinks I would take the side of this piece of shit little bear.
Yeah, this bear sucks. Then the bear goes over where he overhears part of the dental conversation with the town dentist, and he mishears it as,
"What's up, Three's Company? This got real.
Can we hear the dialogue? Actually, I wasn't going to ask for this, but can we hear the dialogue that he misheard? How do you judge for yourself?
Shelby, this day's been one big pain after another.
Well, I can see why. Little fella's rotten to the core.
So what do I do?
Well, if you want any peace of mind, you gotta get rid of him.
Get rid of me? Ugh. I'll save him the trouble.
Yeah, just kill yourself. Please kill yourself.
Kill yourself, Kissy Fur. That's fine. I hate him
so much.
The only cartoon review show that advocates child suicide, knowing it's half the podcast. Dear and Lord, look, I hate this kid so much.
I understand what this kid is doing.
I hate
condone it, but I remember being a little kid, and as an adult now, looking back, seeing my kid do the same things to me, going, "Oh, that's why my mom was being a huge C." Like, I get it now. I understand what I was doing and why it was horrible, and why would anybody want it to be even a parent when that's like your everyday job? So I get it, but also you don't have to put up with that shit.
Yeah, I'm so upset. I literally, you know, Kissy Fur, I just wrote, ugh. Kissy Fur goes to his raft that apparently was a plot point never mentioned, that they had just built a raft.
Yeah,
that we all are just supposed to know that they have a raft. And what I love about it, he gets on the raft and he puts on his life jacket. And I notice immediately there's two other life jackets as the only other thing on this raft. And I'm like, gee, wonder if he'll have company. His two friends come over. And yes, they start boating away. So they could all just, I don't know what these other kids are doing.
I just want to talk for a minute about how shit the peas and carrots are. In this cartoon, there are multiple times when, like, everybody's saying something. Oh, look out. We got to run away. Oh, my goodness. We have to do the thing. And they're so bad that, like, this is just the two of them, the two other characters, as he pushes off, they're like, Kissy Fur, wait.
Oh. Kissy Fur, wait.
Not like, Nobody thought up of different things to say. There's like, oh, it says here on the page, Kissy Fur, wait, and then improvise your own lines. Kissy Fur, wait.
Yeah, that was straight up Willy Wonka stuff right there. No, wait, please don't.
If they just watched him go while saying that, this would have been the best cartoon ever.
This would have been a primo cartoon. This would be a subversive cartoon of its era if they had done. No, they get on the bus. They put on the two other jackets. Wow. And I just wrote, Kissy Fur, you get as far away from me as you possibly can.
There's a moment here where they just are sailing off into the sunset and the music is playing in such a way that I'm like, just end it here. End the episode here. They just leave. There was like 6 minutes left of the cartoon. So I was like, I know it's not going to happen, but everything is in place here as if that was the end.
I wanted it to be the end. I agree. Then there's a big storm though, and they haven't come home and it's nighttime now. And Bear Dad starts being like, I've been banging Miss Emmy all day. Maybe I should start worrying about my kid. I've enjoyed the time away from him. Don't get me wrong.
It's the only thing that takes my mind off the tooth.
Yep.
Delicious bear beeges.
Bear
beach,
bear beach, yeah,
bear beach, yeah.
We call it the BBJ. And so the neighbor's kid's like, hey, my kid's missing. Is your kid missing? He's like, yeah. Oh, they're not together. They must be together. They go out. And they're like, okay,
that fucking built.
Yeah, they look out. They're like, well, that raft that we all know about, never mentioned up to this point. But that raft isn't here. Oh, you remember? Oh, of course, that raft that they recently built. Of course, we all know this. And it's just such a weird. Anyway, they're like, oh boy, these kids have made a big mistake. So they, Bear and the crew, they get in their speedboat or whatever, their boat, and they start going. They find them.
It's a paddle like, boat.
It's like, crazy.
It's like those swan boats over at
Griffith Park.
Not Griffith. Oh, they don't have a Griffith Park, do they?
Yes, they do.
Whoa, I didn't know
that. I'm sorry. Balboa Park. I'm trying to say Balboa Park. That's what I was looking for. But if they they might have McGriffith Park. I haven't checked, but they definitely have them at Balboa Park. Water in
Griffith Park. It's a goddamn hill.
They might have them. Balboa Park is what we were both thinking of, though. I've ridden in a swan boat. Yeah, I brag. jealous. And he okay, but Daddy Bear, I want to get this done with. Daddy Bear throws a rope and he ends up like catching them and
he
just
capsizes their goddamn boat is what he does.
He does. I'm fine with that. Like, look, there's a moment here, and I didn't write it down. Maybe I didn't. There's a moment here when I thought to myself, what a wonderful direction this show would go if these three children drift away and are gone forever. And now we have to deal with loss. And we're time, we, you know, it becomes how, I mean, what's that show with John Ritter, the 16 ways things to date my daughter show, that like
16 ways to park my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember, because John Ritter was the TV dad and then he very sadly passed away. And then they tried to keep the show going by turning it into a monument to grief. And it's like, what are you doing? That doesn't work on it. I wanted them to actually do that with Kissy Fur, though.
You know, that became the a monument still on the air, right? They did exactly that, and no, it worked
not,
for them.
It's not still on the air. That was like 15 years ago, Chan. There's no way. If that show is still on the air, I'm wrong about most things in life. Well, probably still on the air then. My point I'm trying to make here is that I there was a moment where I was just like, you know what? If these kids go down, I'm okay with it. And that's not a good sign for how your show is doing. When bad things are about to happen to all your child characters, and I, an actual parent watching, goes, yeah, for the best.
The only good thing I can say about it is that I thought they were headed towards a waterfall. And I'm like,
oh, I did too.
And it just turns out to be the ocean, which I guess is like marginally better.
You're going to wash out to sea.
The Connors was renewed on October 12th, 2022 to get the full 22 episodes.
Well, that's the Connors. That's not the show I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going 8 Simple Rules. That was the name of the show.
And I'm saying that the Connors did exactly that after Roseanne got fired. They killed off her character and everyone continued on. And they were talking about how she fucking died.
Yeah, but they changed the name of the show. Like they literally just created a new show, cut ties with Roseanne. They didn't like just keep the thing rolling. I don't know.
They did. It's exactly the same show in the same timeline and everything. They changed the name because that main character died, but it's still the show.
Like how they changed Valerie's family into the Hogan family?
Yeah. Yes.
That was pretty good. It sounds like Hogan.
ABC bullshit.
I like the Hogan. I'm gonna say right now. I like Valerie Bertinelli did nothing for me. But I'll tell you what, Edie McClurg on Hogan Family. Yeah, that's the good shit right there. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it.
Honestly, the show would have been nothing without Hulk Hogan. Was he on that show?
Really, just want to end the show right here. But we have one more scene to talk about.
No.
Daddy Bear saves everybody. I know, Gina. It's okay. We'll get there.
Also, freaking toot. Like, the number of times, this was the point where I was like, oh my God, how many times is somebody going to scream help in this show? Is it just all the time? Is that all the show is?
It was weird that there were two helps in that block. Like, split up these 11-minute episodes. Make one not screaming for help.
Not since the Smurfs have I heard somebody call for help so many times per capita.
No, Papa Smurf.
Oh God! Every episode, like 20 times. There's a great moment where the Kissy for still being an asshole. I'll still point out. He says to his dad, he finds out about the toothache. He's like, "We weren't talking about you. We're talking about this toothache I had." And Kissy for says to his dad, after everything that just happened, "You should have told me it was about your tooth." And I'm thinking to myself, like, you could have asked. But that's when the dad turns around and says, hey, before you fucking ran off and almost died, maybe you could have told me. And I was just like, you get him, dad.
This is what passes for progressive parenting in the 80s. Like, oh, yes, it's possible for a parent to be a little bit wrong. Though clearly he was not in any way. The fact that he admitted to anything like that is like, oh my God,
Look at
this fucking Dr. Spock shit.
Yeah. No, this dad, this bear dad's getting into heaven based on this episode alone. That's all I'm trying to say. Mm. And they haven't even pulled his tooth yet. I just assumed somewhere in there, in that break, they would have pulled his tooth. But no, the turtle finds the pliers, yanks his tooth out. He feels better. And then it turns out Emmy Bear, now what a dick move. You know you're there. You know he has a toothache. It's like the next day now. And she's brought over cupcakes that she baked. That's kind of a dick move.
She does. First of all, that's like, you know, how many sweets is this bear eating that he gets a rotten tooth from him?
He lives off of honey.
How often does a bear brush his goddamn teeth, Gina?
Also then maybe he's not that great a dad, is he? If he's not brushing his teeth, not taking care of himself, not keeping up with his health. He's a bear who knows to tell his kid to stay away from computers.
Wait a minute. What does that have to do with? Yes, he is a Luddite. But what does that have to do with his parenting? Like,
because if you're actually a good parent, you would take care of your health.
Like, there's a difference between, like, maybe he's just, maybe Kissy Fur is just such a handful. He doesn't have the energy at the end of the day, Gina.
No,
I feel
that's
like I'm
not,
revealing too much about myself right now.
Not an excuse. Not an excuse.
I'm just going to move forward. He eats the cupcakes anyway. And I think he actually, like, hoards and eats all the cupcakes, which is also upsetting. You're losing a point, Dad. You were doing so well.
Look, I don't know if I brought it up on this show before, but we're doing Whole 30 for the month of January.
Ugh, you have brought it up before. It's terrible. It's all you're going to do. You're just going to binge all sorts of food in February. So what's the point of doing this?
I don't know. To fucking binge in February. What should be the point of this?
For the record, I plan in binging in February, and I'm not doing Whole 30.
There you go.
To be fair, I will say, considering a sober February, not the Super Bowl, I'm considering it. Is that a good decision? I've done it before. It seems like a good way to, like, just, you know, get yourself back in a healthy place again. What do we think? Soberary. Is that a thing we're going to do?
According to Gina, you should be drinking more. What's the point of depriving yourself in any way, shape, or form?
Oh, no. Come March 1st, I'm going to have to be rushed to the hospital.
I'm an all things in moderation person, and I'm the fittest one among us.
Must be nice being, 311 and like 40 pounds. Some of us got some baggage to haul around. Thank you very much.
I mean, if I'm 311, you're like 4'1". So,
and I'm still somehow 8 feet tall. I don't know how this equation works, but Gina, it's really a shocker that the youngest, smallest, most childless one of us lives the most healthy.
Here's the thing. You can't use your kids as excuses when you chose to have them. Like, that's not an excuse that flies with me.
You chose to drive that car into that wall. Don't tell me about how your legs don't work now, Gina Ippolito. Seems a little rough is all I'm trying to say.
No, you made your decisions. Now you live with them. I'm just saying.
She's not wrong. I will cop to the fact that choices have been made. I'm not going to say that I regret them. But I'm after thinking it.
Look, I will say, look, to my credit, I was out of shape well before I had a child in my life.
Well, then your whole point is even more moot.
But I used to be in good shape, Gina. I used to be.
Not
like,
as
I
long as I've known you.
It.
And you definitely, fair, I've known you when you didn't have kids. So.
Listen, I'm just saying I have pictures that I can look back on and say, oh, yeah. That's all I need. I don't need a lot, but I have that. So. I have that.
Are we
that's
done?
Our show, everybody. Nope.
It ended on a real bummer. I mean, not just because a kid almost killed himself, but
Kissy Fur, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Kissy Fur. I hate it. I hate it.
I will forever remember Kissy Fur as being a show that put children in peril, and I did not give a shit for their well-being. That's skilled writing. To get me to that point.
The only character who isn't terrible is Zoomer the robot in this whole 30-minute thing.
I don't know.
I think Zuma, like, put the apples in the mouths. I'll just say it.
We didn't see him do anything, but also feels a little codependent, right?
Well, I mean, he's a machine.
I mean, he's just got to learn to say no. He's just got to learn to stick up for himself. I'm going to put it out there. I think he probably lived a good life after this. I think he left that stinky bayou. Oh, I definitely. Think he's a robot bartender somewhere. And he gets a lot of ass.
Oh, yeah.
Robot ass?
Yeah, or human ass. You know, like, people like bartenders. It's just a thing.
Yeah, Data got laid on Star Trek.
Once.
I mean, it's more than me in high school, Chan.
Fair point.
Was it Tasha Yar? Is that who? I don't even remember now.
Yes, but, like, it was. How dare you pretend you don't know that?
Oh, I was just pulling a name out of thin air. I don't know Star Trek that good. I'm no nerd. God bless it. I can't fool Chan anymore. Not that I ever could. Anyway, that is Kissy Fur. Any final thoughts on this? Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that list that say, let's leave this one in the past forgotten. I also agree with Gina, who said 30 minutes from now, I will have forgotten this existed. And let's invent that Men in Black technology so I can remove some knowledge.
No, because then you know what'll happen is we'll just keep watching it over and over again because our patrons will say, have you guys watched Kissy Foofer? And we'll be like, no, I don't think we have. And then we'll just keep. So it'll be like we're in a hell of our own making.
That's what the spreadsheet is for. And if it comes to it, we'll tattoo ourselves like friggin' Memento.
Oh, that's a good idea. It just, I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and on my chest is emblazoned, you've seen Kissy Fur.
Yeah, don't watch Kissy Fur.
Don't watch Kissy Fur.
Ray killed your wife. I gotta go kill Ray, I guess. Oh,
shit. The worst part was it was Ray Stevenson, but you didn't clarify.
Yeah,
clarify. It was obviously the
tattoos to be more specific.
Come on, Chan.
It's the Lithuanian country singer. Is that who I'm supposed to kill?
Oh boy, poor Virgis. I'm a big fan of Virgis Decanus. Gina doesn't know what I'm talking about because you're bringing up a who would win ref right now. Great job, Chan.
I slipped into a coma. I slipped into a coma like 30 minutes ago. So you guys could be talking more about Roseanne or some show that I've never seen before, and I would still not have any idea what was going on.
No, not only is Chan bringing up a who would win reference, he's bringing up an only heard on a Patreon video who would win reference. So
look,
Delvin Cox, you know. You know what we're talking about here, and you're it. You're the only one.
In this day and age where we have the internet and people can look things up, it becomes so much harder to be my type of comedian, which is to make references that only one person gets. Because anybody can just find them. They can find out what you're talking about, and you're no longer, you know, mysterious with saying things like, what does he mean? Oh, my gosh, I need to delve into that. So I really have to bring my A game when it comes to
really, Chan. You have to delve into that, like Delvin Cox.
You guys have 5 seconds to end this, or I'm blowing up both of your houses.
I mean, if you get past all the OD druggies. All right, well, that's our show. That's Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Dear Lord, I knew this one was going to be unpleasant. but I feel like we got some joy out of it, and I'm hoping you did too. You can always find us at facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. We are going to schedule, for you patrons out there, we are going to schedule a live listen to the G.I. Joe cassette tape with Tripwire audio drama, and then we're going to do a Patreon-only episode talking about it, and we're going to book that, I think, for February. So be ready for that. We're going to find a time to do it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I actually can't wait to listen to it again. I listened to the first like minute and a half, and I was like, I got to save this for the show. This is giving me all the feels right now. I really liked it.
Can't be worse otherwise, than Kissy Furf.
Yeah,
I feel it's, like good. I feel like
it's wonderful. It is wonderful. I now know where my love of audio dramas came from. It came from this. Right now. Also, you're going to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast if you want to be a part of that. And you should. It's fun. You know, it helps us out. It lets us do things and buy you stuff. So, you know, good stuff. And you can find us on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast, God willing. And you can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray.
I'm at 999 RPMs.
No, you're not.
Nobody's at 999 RPMs. Why, that Twitter account hasn't been around for 20 years.
It throws off the flow with me going second.
Doesn't it, though?
I think Chan just needs to say, I used to be at 999 RPMs till I quit Twitter.
And then I can say, I'm at Gina Ippy.
And that's our show, everybody. We'll see if it even happened.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
I was like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.